I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter, did I say 14? Yes, chapter 14. Look at verse 12. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Why is it the ways of death? Because the ways of man do not agree with the ways of God. And if they don't agree with the ways of God, they are the ways of death. I think many of us, and when I say many of us, I mean many of us in the body of Christ, we fail to understand that. That when we do things that are in opposition to God's word, we're producing death in our lives. It may not seem like that's what we're doing, but slowly but surely, the more you stand in opposition to God's word, the more you open that door for the enemy to come in and sow death into your life. Okay? There was an article. I'm going to read pieces of two articles. This one has to do with a commercial that's promoting same-sex marriage. And it involves President Obama, former First Lady Laura Bush, former Vice President Dick Cheney, and then former General Retired, I guess that's what they call him, Colin Powell. I'm going to read part of this to you. Oh, former Secretary of State Colin Powell. The advertisement is produced by the Respect for Marriage Coalition, which is co-chaired by the Human Rights Campaign. It features clips of past comments from various political leaders in an attempt to demonstrate that both Democrats and Republicans support homosexual marriage. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are the ways of death." Quote, "None of us would want to be told that we can't marry the person that we love," the ad begins, showing men and women embracing each other. "That's why a growing number of Americans believe that it's time to allow marriage for gay and lesbian couples." That's why a growing number of Americans. If this is true, I know where the growth is coming from. It's coming from all of those 18 years to 28, 29, 30 years old, who never had the opportunity to have prayer in school. That's where it started. Okay, so if it's growing, that's where it's growing. "When couples are committed, then I think they ought to have the same sort of rights that everyone has," former First Lady Laura Bush states. When couples are committed. Now listen, I want you to hear something, okay? When couples are committed, then I think they ought to have the same sort of rights that everyone else has. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." When she said, "I think," okay, she was stepping away from God, from what God says. Allowing them, talking about homosexuals, to live together with the protection of law, dash, it seems to me to be the way we ought to be moving in this country, says former Secretary of State Colin Powell. It seems to me. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Freedom means freedom for everyone, comments former Vice President Dick Cheney in a snippet lifted from the speech at the 2000 National Press Club. The advertisement then concludes with President Barack Obama's address during his inauguration last month. "Our journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law," he declares. I know I'm being redundant. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." President Obama, former First Lady Laura Bush, former Vice President Dick Cheney and former Secretary of State, you are on the wrong side of this issue. I have no disrespect for any of you, but you are on the wrong side of this issue. Because the Word of God clearly states that God created them male and female. Created he them. Okay? The title of the message by the way, is Male and Female, Created He Them. That's the title of the message. This morning, there was an article on Yahoo. You know how Yahoo has all of these different pictures and about articles that are coming up and things like that. And this one says, corporations urge the Supreme Court to embrace gay marriage. It says more than 200 businesses will urge the U.S. Supreme Court on Wednesday to strike down a federal law that restricts the definition of marriage to heterosexual unions. Lawyers representing the business said they will file a brief in the same case. Companies including Microsoft, Google, Starbucks, Pfizer, Amazon, Citigroup, Reuters, R-E-U-T-E-R, Reuters, Corp, are all part of, are among the companies that are part of this. The companies want the Supreme Court to strike down a key provision of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act that defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman. And the reason they want this to happen is because right now many of these companies are national based. So they have subsidiaries in states that don't allow same-sex marriage, and they have companies in states that do. So they want something uniform so they can all just have to do one thing instead of several different things. Okay? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to answer the question, how did we get to where we are with this issue of same-sex marriage? How did we get to the place of where we are with this issue? In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? I want to stop right there. You see the word principalities. Okay? A principality is a direct report to Satan. A direct report. Okay? So if you know, Satan was the president, then a principality would be a vice president, one of his vice presidents. Okay? A principality, ladies and gentlemen, has responsibility for a region, for everything that goes on in that region, for pushing an agenda from the throne room of hell in that region. Okay? The agenda that's been pushed on this country for the last 50-plus years is same-sex marriage and homosexuality. That's been the agenda that this principality has been pushing on this country. Okay? That's the issue. And you see that it doesn't matter to the principality how long it takes. He just wants to see it done. And so over a period of time, he's been able to push the agenda into our country where now we are more tolerant than we have ever been in my lifetime. And I'm only 56 years old. In my lifetime. I can remember when I was growing up, when you talked about someone who was homosexual, that was not good. That was not a good thing. But now you have Christians who don't seem to think it's a big deal. Here in this country, same-sex marriage, the homosexual agenda, is an all-out assault on our souls. It's an all-out assault on our souls. Because when you listen to the prophecies that have come forth in this church, you'll often hear the phrase, the enemy of the soul. Because, see, Satan feeds your mind, feeds your mind, feeds your mind, feeds your mind, with the hope that If he feeds your mind long enough, it's going to take root in your heart. Because it's with the heart where the believing comes from. Okay, it's with the heart. So he has done an all-out assault on our minds, on our soul. That's what he is doing right now with this same-sex marriage, homosexual agenda. Do you remember the parable of the saying of the unjust judge? Okay. In the parable of the unjust judge, Judy, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you, ma'am. In the parable of the unjust judge, that's in Luke chapter 18, this lady goes to the judge and she asks the judge to rectify a situation she is in. So she goes to the judge over and over and over and over, continuing to, quote, present her evidence over and over and over until the judge finally gives in, okay, and grants her request. Many have interpreted the unjust this parable of the unjust judge as being a reference to God. It is not. Okay? When you meditate Luke chapter 18, you find that there's only two logical explanations for the unjust judge. It's going to either be God or it's either going to be you. It's either going to be God or it's going to be you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the unjust judge. Okay, Barry, why am I the unjust judge? Because, remember, the lady kept going back and to the judge. She continued to present her evidence over and over and over. And then the judge finally gave in and says, okay, I agree with you. That's how our minds work. Our minds will work on what it is fed the most. Our minds will believe what it has fed the most. So if you continue to feed your mind that same-sex marriage is the way to go, regardless of what God's word says, if you keep feeding your mind that, feeding your mind that, feeding your mind that, if you keep feeding your mind that homosexuality is genetic, people are born that way, you feed your mind long enough, you're going to start considering it. And then once you start considering it, you're going to eventually step over that line to agreeing with it. And that's what the unjust judge does. Your mind, it will take evidence. It don't matter where the evidence come from. Okay? It can be godly evidence or ungodly evidence. So if you're feeding it ungodly evidence, at some point, that is where you're going to start believing. Okay? That's why it's so important to feed your mind with godly evidence. Because the whole point of the parable of the unjust judge is in verse 1. Because Jesus says in this parable about men always ought to pray. Why? Because you want to pray for your unjust judge, that it always stays on God's word. Okay? Now, in your notes, you will see, and see that's why I said that this principality is doing an all-out assault against our souls, against our unjust judge. Because if he can get our unjust judge to agree with him, then we will agree with him, okay? And we won't agree with God's word. We need to agree with God's word. I put in here something the Lord shared with me on July 20th, 2009. And if you were here back in September, A couple of these you will remember because I shared them on a Sunday evening, the whole thing back in last year, 2012. But this one is from 2009. It says, the heart of man is a fragile thing. It believes what the mind feeds it over and over again. The heart gets conditioned by repeated messages. The heart doesn't question. The heart soaks in and believes. The heart soaks in and believes. So the more that you feed the heart, depending on what it is, that's what it eventually is going to let soak in and believe. That's why it says, with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart man believes. And see, it doesn't say in Scripture, with the heart man believes it says man believes unto righteousness, but the man can also believe in his heart to unrighteousness. And that's what Satan wants you to do, to believe unto unrighteousness. Now, why is all of this important? Again, something the Lord shared with me. This is from September 18th, 2009. Your enemy understands the importance of words. He understands that words have life and they are a creative force. He understands that words are used to bring into existence what is not presently seen in the natural world. And that's why he works so hard at getting people to speak his words and not my words. The enemy is using a spiritual principle against the body of Christ that the body of Christ should be using against them. Against him. Okay? That's why this is so important. So when you understand, first of all, that what we are going through right now with the same issue of same-sex marriage and homosexuality, it's a spiritual issue. That's the first thing to understand. And that you got a principality behind pushing the spiritual issue. And then you keep all of that in the context of Ephesians chapter 6 on the warfare that we're in. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, is the same phrase over again about the ways seem right to man, but it ultimately leads unto death. When we begin to substitute what we believe and place that in the place of God, what God believes, that's when we're on the road to death. This may surprise you, but God actually believes what he wrote. He actually believes this. Who knew? He actually believes that what's in the Bible is true. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? That what's in the Bible is true. Okay? What happens? Let me go back to Proverbs chapter 14. And I'm going to read that one more time. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What happens when we substitute our ways for God's ways? What happens? I'm going to make this clear and simple, and it's going to be a brief answer, okay? Two words, okay? You die. You die, okay? We got examples in Scripture, and I just gave you some. Adam and Eve. God told them plainly, you do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, because the day that you eat of that tree, you are going to die. Did he not say that? What happened? Adam and Eve substituted their ways for God's ways. They died. Aaron's son, you remember the record in Leviticus chapter 10 about the strange fire? God commanded that the fire for the altar be offered at a certain time. They decided that they're going to offer the fire when they wanted to offer it. Okay? And that's why Scripture calls it a strange fire. What happened? They died. So far we got a pattern. Okay? The 10 spies in Numbers chapter 13. They went into the promised land. They brought back the grapes, and the grapes were huge. It was just everything in the promised land was exactly what God said it would be. But then 10 of the 12 spies convinced the people that we are not ready to go over there. If we go over there, we are going to die, and we're never really going to enjoy the promised land. Okay? The word of God says that was an evil report. Soon afterwards, God's judgment came out. What happened? They died. So far, we're 3 for 3. Okay? King Saul, remember, Samuel gave him a commandment. He says, I want you to go kill all the Amalekites. That was the way of God. Saul's way was, okay, I'm going to keep the king of the Amalekites, Agag, alive. I'm going to save the best of the oxen, the best of the cattle, And I'm going to save all those, but we're going to kill everything else. That was the way of Saul. What happened? Saul died. So far, ladies and gentlemen, we are 4 for 4. Get to the New Testament, the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "You honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." And a young ruler said, "This I'm doing. I'm doing all of those things, Jesus." And then Jesus said, "Okay, then you need to sell all your goods, give it to the poor, and follow me." The rich young ruler, scripture says, walked away very sad because he had great riches. When the rich young ruler walked away from Jesus, what eventually happened? He died. He didn't accept Jesus. He dies. Okay? Because he chose his riches over Jesus. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. That makes 5 for 5, right? Okay. Getting ready to knock it out of the park. Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land. They kept back part of the money. They came to Peter and said, "Peter, here's the money for the land that we sold." And Peter said, "So you sold the land for so much?" He said, "Uh-huh." And then Peter said, "Oh, really? Okay. So I have one question for you, Ananias. Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?" Kaplunk. He does what? He dies. Hey, I just realized something. We're going to get a twofer on this one. So his wife comes up later on. And Peter says, "Tell me something. Did you sell the property for so much?" She says, "Yes." Kaplunk. Ladies and gentlemen, I could have given you more examples, but these were ones that I knew you would be familiar with. Okay? The ways of man always leads to death. Okay? The good thing for Ananias and Sapphira is that, you know, they made it to heaven. But I prayed for the president. I pray for our leaders because I know that the ways that they're leading us right now, if it continues down that road, will lead us to death. It's scripture. That is scripture. Because when you start promoting an agenda that is against scripture, you are walking into death. Okay? And that's why scripture tells us in Timothy that we are to pray for our leaders. Okay? Because listen, if we don't use our authority to pray for our president, to pray for our Congress, to pray for our leaders, no one else has the authority to allow God to intervene. It's us. It is us. We are the one that God is depending on to be selfless. To be selfless. To be forgiving. To be loving. To pray for our president and everyone else. Laura Bush, Cheney, Colin Powell, and everyone else who are making decisions that are going against God's word. That's what he wants us to do. That is what he wants us. If we don't pray for them, ladies and gentlemen, they don't get prayed for. And that door that the enemy has open that's accessible to them stays open. See, we really don't appreciate what it means to have someone who knows God to pray for someone else. We really don't understand that. Because if we did, we would be on our knees all the time. Because we would understand that I can make a difference in this person's life if I just do what God has asked me to do. Okay? My purpose for reading this article was not as a slam at all. It was simply just to acknowledge that this is what's going on. And then this is what we need to do as men and women of God. Now, what does the Word of God say about same-sex marriage? Now, don't get too concerned about all the scripture references, because I'm only going to read 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, okay? But what you have in front of you is every use of the word man and female when it's used together, okay? Male and female when it's used together. Look in Genesis chapter 1. We're looking at why God is not in favor of same-sex marriage, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them, okay? He created them male and female. Now, verse 28 gives the commandment after God created them male and female, what God wanted them to do. Okay? Verse 28. And God blessed them. He blessed who? The man and the male and the female. Do you see this? Okay? And said unto them, what's the first thing the male and the female are supposed to do? Be fruitful. Okay? That doesn't mean go around picking up fruit. Okay, that doesn't mean go planting a garden. Okay, be fruitful, have children. Okay, have children, and not only have children, have a lot of children. Multiply. I want your families to grow. What do we see in this verse? God wanted us to produce life, and you can only produce life when you have a male and a female. Do you see this? He wants us to produce life. If God wants us to produce life, what does the enemy of the soul want produced? Death. What is a way to produce death? Have two people of the same sex together. They cannot produce life. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See, a lot of folks, when they start talking about stuff like this, they want to go to Romans. God takes care of this in the first chapter of Genesis. You don't have to go to Romans. Go to Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what God tells Adam and Eve. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply. That is what God, and notice what it says. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. When it says God says be fruitful and multiply, that was not a suggestion. Okay? That was not a recommendation. That was what God wanted to happen. So, God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? Look in chapter 7. So God wants man to be fruitful and multiply, right? Look in chapter 7. We're still in Genesis, and we're going to skip over chapter 5 and chapter 6. We're going to go to chapter 7. Look at verse 2 in chapter 7. Well, look at verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for in for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 2. Of it, I want you to hear what God says. Okay? Verse 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. The male and his female. Jason, Sharon, stand up. Example, okay? Jason, the male, and his female. Do you see that? Sharon cannot be Lee's female. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is saying even in the animal kingdom, there is a marriage-type relationship. Because he doesn't say male and female. He says the male and his female. Even in the animal kingdom. And what chapter and what book are we in, ladies and gentlemen? Genesis. Thank you, Jason. Protect your male boy, your female boy. Okay. Verse 2 again. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and what? His female. Do you see that? Verse 3. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep the purpose of having male and female is to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. That's why you have male and female, to keep seed alive. If you have male and male, there's no seed that's going to be kept alive. If you have female and female, there's no seed going to be kept alive. Some of you may not like that. You don't have an issue with me, okay? You got an issue with God. You have an issue with God. And you know what? You can intellectualize it all you want. You still have an issue with God. You can rationalize it all you want. You have an issue with God. Okay? You can say, but that's the way this country is going. You have an issue with God. I hope I've been clear. It doesn't matter what the laws of this country say. If it goes against God's word, you have an issue with God. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Scripture says it is a fearful thing to be in the hand of an angry God. Okay? Of an angry God. Can you say ass sheep? Oh, boy. Go down to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Are you seeing what God thinks about same-sex marriage here? It's really simple. He's showing you in Genesis, I have established male and female. Okay? You don't have to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to understand this. You don't have to go to Romans chapter 1 to understand this. You can stay in Genesis and understand this. If you want to understand this. Okay? In Matthew chapter 19, look in verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 4. Now, Jesus says in John that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus says in the Gospel of John that I speak the things that the Father gives me to speak. Okay? 19 verse 4. Well, let's go verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came unto the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Excuse me. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? See, even the Pharisees recognized that it's a man and his wife. Okay? So, you know, we can't give them a hard time about everything. They got this one right. Okay? Jesus said in verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Stop. What is Jesus doing? He's pointing them back to Scripture. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, 28, made them male and what? Female. Do you see that? And he says the same thing in Mark chapter 10. He made them male and female. Look in Malachi chapter 2. No, I'm not going to hit you up for money. Oh, Lord, have mercy. In Malachi chapter 2, look at verse 11. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Notice he didn't marry the son of a strange god. What did Judah do? He married the daughter. Do you see it? Okay. Verse 12. The Lord would cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offered an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the who of thy youth? The wife, okay, of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Do you see this? Verse 15, and did not he make one? What is he referring to? Married. Did he not make one? When a man and a woman get married, they become what? One. You keep it in context. What's he talking about? He's saying wives. Okay? Did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? And wherefore did he make them one? Is the question that Malachi is asking. Why did God make the man and the woman one? That he might see what? A godly seed. I'm about to step on some toes, okay? As if I have not already done that. For those of you out there who believe that marriage is not primarily for procreation, Scripture says you're wrong. It is. That is the reason, because God wants godly seed. That's why you get married. He wants godly seed. And for all of you out there who think that is not the purpose of marriage, you need to go talk to your Heavenly Father. You need to have a heart-to-heart with Him. Okay? Because there are some husbands and some wives out there that you don't believe that's important in your relationship. I'm telling you, it's important in your relationship. Otherwise, God would not have put it in His Word. He would not have put it in His Word. Okay? I'm not saying you go out and have 15 million kids. But he said the purpose of marriage, man and wife, is that he might seek a godly seed. Do you know that the more folks who are born of God who live in this world means God has more folks that he can use their authority? That's why he wants them. That's why he wants godly seed. So he can kick the seed of the ungodly. Okay. Let's finish up. Proverbs chapter 18. In Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's belly. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of what? His mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You see that? Look at the very next verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay? So, if you can be satisfied with the fruit of your lips, the mouth, and the increase of your lips shall you be filled, can it be death? Look what it says. He says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you're either filling You're either being satisfied with death and being filled up with it, or you're being satisfied with life and being filled up with that. When our president, former first lady, former vice president, and former secretary of state went on record as saying they're in favor of same-sex marriage, they have filled them, they are satisfying their mouth with death. They're filling themselves up with death. I'm not trying to speak death into their lives. They are speaking death into their lives because they're speaking opposite of what the Word of God says. Now, why would they do that? Look at verse 12 of chapter 18. Before destruction, the heart, not the mind, not the soul, but the heart of man is haughty. The heart of the man is haughty before destruction. In other words, you just didn't come to this process of having a haughty heart. I mean, you just didn't come to having a haughty heart. It's a process that you go through to get a haughty heart. And once you get that haughty heart, you're going to start speaking death because you are speaking against God's word. Okay? And that's why I know I've said this several times tonight, and I want to say this again. We need to pray for our president, and we need to pray for all those who are in authority and in leadership. We need to. Because, see, we are giving God permission to go after him. Okay? Now, I want to close with Psalm 19, one verse. Because this is my prayer. This is my prayer for each one of you. This is my prayer for our president. This is my prayer for everyone in authority. Psalm chapter 19, look at verse 14. This is David. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to read that again. President Obama, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in the sight, O Lord, the God of your strength and your redeemer. Former First Lady, Laura Bush, let the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, be acceptable in the Lord's sight, your strength and your redeemer. Former Vice President Dick Cheney, let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in his sight. The Lord is your strength and your redeemer. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell, let the words of your mouth, let the meditation of your heart be acceptable in the sight of the Lord, who is your strength and your redeemer. Each one of you, say this with me and put your name in here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You are worthy. I want the meditations of my heart to be acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I honor you. I glorify your name. And let the words that I speak, words that you can use, Jesus, let them be life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. That's all we got to offer. It's our mouths, our hearts. That's what we have to offer. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that tonight the words of their mouths, the meditations of their hearts are acceptable unto you. And I thank you, Lord, that our words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts are acceptable unto you. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you glory. Church said, amen. Amen. If anyone has an offering tonight, please feel free to bring it up. And If you want to send an offering, go to the website. You can look at PayPal. If you want to send a snail mail, you can do that also. I'm going to beat this horse one more time before I go to bed, before we close tonight. Pray for your leaders, ladies and gentlemen. Pray for your leaders. If you don't pray for your leaders, then you are giving the enemy of the soul the opportunity to work in their lives even more than he's doing right now. But Brother Bear, I'm just one person. That's all God needs. That's all he needs, just one person who's willing to do that. Okay? Everyone, please stand.